I feel like there's always these ups and downs on the journey. Always. No one will never always no one's gonna have like a pure straight up. And it's in those valleys of despair where you learn the most about yourself, where you learn the most about what works and who you need to become to get back on top of that valley. And I've had tons of dips, tons of di dips, some dips lasting like 3 4 months of just like being completely out of it, not learning at all, not even picking up a book, not even like reviewing any of my calls, whatever, just because I thought I was good. So man, 7 years, it's literally nothing. You know nothing. You always have to be learning something.
I searched all over the world, struggling to find it. Then I met my boy, David E. Simons. Yeah. I searched all over the world, struggling to find it. Then I met my boy, David E. Simons. Yeah.
Welcome to another episode of How I Discovered My Gift with yours truly, David D. Simons. I am honored, am I delighted, is excited, am I excited, is excited to have Wahaj Farooqi on the call today. Let me tell you a little bit about Wahaj. He's one of five brothers, co-founder and sales director of Lions Digital Studios. And he also has grown the venture alongside his brothers, which is very rare. I got the opportunity to see him. We were just speaking before we hit the record button. I got the opportunity to see him on stage at WebinarCon, a very, very prolific event that goes on yearly. And I just admired the brotherhood, the camaraderie. So we'll dig into that. But he's grown the venture alongside his brothers into an industry leader in the info product space with a team of 100 plus. So you know if somebody's gotten to 100 plus, they know some things. They know how to build. And they've built 4 8-figure brands and generated over $125 million in the info product space. Wahaj, welcome to the show, my brother.
Yo, David, thank you so much, man. This was like Bruce Buffer announcing me for a UFC fight.
Yes, sir. Let's knock
Happy
him out.
Happy to be here, man. Thank you so much for the intro. And yeah, bro, like one of five brothers. I'm number four. I'm brother number four.
Wow.
So
wow.
We got four others, you know?
Yeah, man. So I want to start there, man. You guys are all in the business together, but take us to your childhood, right? Like, That didn't start, like what you have built didn't start, a year or 2 years. It started as, it had to start from your childhood. Tell me about what it was like growing up in the household.
Yeah, 100%. Let's talk about my childhood.
Yeah.
So I grew up in a Call of Duty map. Okay. Call of Duty, you play that game?
Yeah.
So I grew up in a Call of Duty map, and the map is called Karachi. Mm-hmm. And in Call of Duty, that map is like all torn up, dusty, broken. In the game, it's like bombed and stuff. Wow. But so that's where I grew up, Pakistan, Karachi. It's the map, that's some weird prey place. I don't know if it's definitely not like that in real life. But it's dusty and it's messy. But yeah, that's where I grew up. My family's from Pakistan, Karachi. Pakistan's one of the most beautiful countries. If you go up north, it's like by the Himalaya Mountains. But Karachi is like the waterfront city of Pakistan. And that's like the hub of trade and stuff.
Oh, wow.
And so there's like 350 million people that live in Karachi.
What?
So, as a reference, like, Canada is 30 million people, right? America is 360 million people. So think of all of America in like one city.
Wow.
Hopefully I'm right. I think 350.
That's like, wait, one city? So like Los Angeles, like as a city. Like we're talking a city.
Oh shit, I just Googled it. It's actually 14 million, but there's lots of people that come, so it goes to like 30 million.
Okay,
so,
okay, okay.
All, so all of Canada's population in one city.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's where I grew up, Pakistan. And yeah, man, my mom and dad, obviously they got married. They had us kids. We have six of us kids. So I have myself and then five siblings. We have five brothers, one sister. And so my oldest is Abdul, then Uzair, then Gurais, then me, Wahaj, then my sister Moon, and then my youngest brother Talha. And all of us brothers are in the business. And so you ask, like, how did it all start? Bro, we've been growing up, obviously, we lived together up until like everyone started getting married. So my oldest brother got married when he was 26. So like 26 years, all of us kids living together, sharing rooms, sharing beds, wow, and just living life together for our whole childhood, even our adult life, right? Right? 25, 26. Then I got married, and then I moved out. Then my other brother got married. Then he moved out. And my fourth brother just got married this year, and he's still living with my parents. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, we've just always been together, you know? So, and then even before that, my uncles, so like my mom's side of the family, they had like three brothers and six sisters, and growing up they all lived together in a big house too.
Wow.
And then my uncles got married and they still live together with their wives and kids in like a big complex. Wow. And so it wasn't, and they all actually did business together as well. So like, shit, you asked a great question. It literally goes back generations. And then if I were to even go further back, my mom's dad, he like, so I don't know if you know the history, but Pakistan and India, they were once one country first.
Really?
And then they broke apart because of the British. And then the people had to move across. And then my mom's family, or my mom's dad, so my grandpa's family, they got separated. And so my grandfather brought everyone together in Karachi, made that the home base, and started a construction business together. So if you're asking where it started, that's where it started.
That's beautiful, man. So what was the transition from Karachi to now you're in Canada? So yeah. Or Toronto, Vancouver.
Canada, Vancouver.
Yeah. So how did that transition happen?
Yeah, bro. My dad moved to America when we were kids. So we were still back home in Pakistan. And my dad had like the foresight to be like, yo, I want to get my family out of Karachi, right? I want to get my family out of the Call of Duty map. And so he moved to America, Houston. And that's where he started like, you know, working and stuff, trying to get enough money to fly everyone back, because it was the American dream. Right. Yeah. The American dream was to move to America, the land of opportunities. And he tried for like 5-6 years, but it never happened. And so he took the second best option, which is up north a little bit colder, you know, up to Canada. And so in 2000, I remember I was 5 years old. You know, we got up and left and we did a big farewell. My mom was crying. I think my cousins and my aunts were crying because we're leaving Karachi, Pakistan, and we're the first ones in our family to leave to this, you know, unknown country filled with snow and a bunch of white people. So that was the journey. I was five. I don't remember, but I just remember like the snow and seeing snow for the first time.
I can imagine completely different weather from Pakistan to Canada. So you said your grandfather was an entrepreneur, and did you guys glean from him? Like how did this entrepreneurial business development bug start?
Yeah, I feel like so growing up, by the time we were children, like my mom, I think, so her parents passed away when my mom was, I think, like 10 or 12.
Yeah.
So both of their my grandparents passed away when my mom was pretty young. And so, but I think my grandfather was like 45, 46 when he passed away. So very young. So he did a lot in that short period of life.
Yeah.
But the business was around where his brothers, so my, I guess, other grandparents, because that those are like his siblings, they took over the business. And so the stories that were passed down were these entrepreneurial stories to us kids, hearing about, hey, your grandfather was an entrepreneur. Your grandfather was someone who brought the family unit back together after our country being in shambles, essentially, and being broken apart and torn apart, literally torn apart by the British. And this guy, when there was no social media, there was no internet, nothing, put out ads in the newspapers and was like, hey, I'm looking for my family. Have you seen and heard of my family? These are their names, you know? And so that's what he did. And so the stories that we heard growing up from my mom, from my aunts and uncles, was like, this is what this man did. And so those stories were the things that inspired us growing up. Like, yo, I would love to be like my grandpa one day, you know? But it was actually, I was still too young to even like consider anything, because I was 5 years old when I came to Canada. A lot of these stories transformed my oldest brother's mindset, right? So my oldest brother was maybe like 16 at the time when he moved to Canada with us. And he heard all of these stories, and he heard like, oh, my grandpa took care of the family. And so like, while my dad was away in America, he's like, yo, I'm the guy at home right now. I'm the one that's got to take care of my little brothers and little sisters, you know? Yeah. So it's like those moments that allowed that to happen, that inspiration to be passed down. Yeah. And for someone like my brother, someone like us to be able to like listen, hear from my mom's experience of what someone should be doing, you know?
Respect, man. Wow. Okay. So take us into Canada, Vancouver, and how you kind of develop and you guys develop this. I believe that nothing start, like everybody sees something big, right? They see some big, amazing company like you guys have developed and, you know, 125 million plus. That just happened. There's a backstory.
Yeah.
There's a genesis that nobody sees. There's work in the dark that nobody sees, right? Yeah. So take me through that, man. And in a sense, because this show is all about gifting, right? So take me through that. But before you go into that, I want you to share with me what you think your most dominant gift is.
Okay. So my most dominant gift, it's So I'll go a little bit deeper. Okay, so my name, all right, it's an Arabic name. It's Wahaj. So that's how you pronounce it, Wahaj.
Wahaj.
And there's like an emphasis on the Wahaj.
Wahaj.
And that in Arabic, what it means is like illumination, brightness, light. Or at the same time, it could also mean like the flame, the heat that comes from the embers of coal.
Wow.
Okay. And so it's, you know, it's interesting how God works. It's interesting how the way it works. I feel like my most powerful gift is that illumination, you know, with people, that energy that I could bring, the communication that I could have, the connections I can make.
Yes.
You know, so that's what I feel is my greatest gift.
Bro, I'm a witness, right? Instantly met you. I was like, man, this brother's got a great spirit, just lights up a room. Like, it's so true, man. That you are your name, man. You live your gift.
Bro, so, shout out to my mom for naming me, you know?
Shout out. Yeah. Perfect, man. So take us now into this gift, right? You got this gift. Take us into this formation of this behemoth of these companies that, like, where's this start, man?
Yeah. So growing up like in Canada with, imagine, eight family members, right? Two parents, six siblings in Canada, with my mom or dad not having any formal education, right? So the jobs that they could get were like entry-level jobs. And, you know, they obviously worked their tail off and they provided for us like crazy. And they were able to feed five boys, you know, five hungry going boys. You should see our plates right now. They're still packed with protein.
Wow.
Luckily, Canada wasn't crazy expensive how it is now, but obviously it still was tough. Yeah. So that's how, like, you know, we grew up together, you know, moving kind of every 1-2 years, moving to different homes and whatever, getting kicked out, whatever. And, you know, we're like, hey, we're in this country. Our parents, obviously being immigrant parents, they're always teaching us, hey, you have to get an education. You have to, you know, learn, and then you have to get a great job. And that was the goal. That was the goal for all of us, right? We're here to just get educated and learn and grow. And I was, again, I was 5 years old. So like, I'm pretty much completely westernized by the time I'm in high school. Mm. And so, yeah, elementary, we were having fun. High school, we're having fun, playing sports, playing basketball. You know, I'm 6'5", making great friends and everything. And all of our brothers are like just growing in this society. And then once my oldest brother graduated, he was our obviously oldest, so he graduated with a finance degree from one of the best schools in Vancouver, UBC. And he got a great job. He got an investment banking job. And this obviously, you know, brought the income up for the family. And he started helping out and supporting the family. And this is when I'm like probably 15 or something. Mm-hmm. And then fast forward a little bit. My brother got laid off in like 2013 from his job. And I remember like I was still a kid at this point. And it was like, whoa, why is there like there's like I'm starting to learn words like stress and tension and finances, you know? Mm-hmm. And this is when my brother kind of switched to his entrepreneurial spirit. Mm-hmm. And then he started like his marketing agency where he was doing work for small businesses. Mm-hmm. And then this is where like my oldest brother graduated, my second oldest brother graduated, my third oldest brother graduated from all great schools. And then I graduate high school and I'm like, I hate school. I hate the system.
Right.
Jobs suck. I don't want to get a loan. School is expensive. It's a waste of time. Like I'm like the complete opposite of what all my brothers are. And I'm like, I'm not going to school. And my mom is like, you know, furious. You guys, to the dropouts out there, you guys know the feeling of being, you know, that pressure and that disappointment in your parents. So, but like for me, like disappointment, I kind of took it on my shoulder. And I always walked with it. You know, when you're a middle child, any attention you get is good attention. You know, any publicity you get is great publicity. I learned that growing up as a kid. Right. So when I was a disappointment, I'm like, great. At least my mom's thinking about me.
I get it.
So dropped out. And just started doing regular work. I was like a blue collar worker for the first 3-4 years out of high school. And so there's this time where like my oldest brother is doing decently well in his agency in like 2014, 2015. And then I was a blue collar dropout and I was like blue collar. Like I didn't know anything. I actually didn't even know the word or profession sales. Like I didn't even know like this existed. You know how crazy it is? It's like you don't even know what the profession sales is. Mm,
interesting.
And it's so insane to me.
Yeah.
So, and I got fired from my before I got my blue collar job, bro, I was like working at a gas station. Mm-hmm. I worked at a gun club. Mm-hmm. I worked at like construction. I worked at a moving company. Mm-hmm. I worked as a pizza boy, like at Panago, making pizza dough.
Yeah.
I worked at the Bay selling linens, like bed sheets and stuff. Right. And then I got a job as a valet. Mm-hmm. And I also got a job as a green screw. So I was working at a golf course.
Wow.
So a lot of different jobs, and I'm now like 20, 21, and I'm making money for myself. Like, it's good. I'm spending it. I'm having fun with my friends. And then I get fired from my, what do you call it? My golf job, where I was like cutting grass and stuff. So I get fired. I'm like, oh shit, I've been at this job for like 3 years.
Right.
What do I do now? And my brother at the time, he had a business, but I'm like, oh, I don't want to work with my brother. Okay, so then I ended up getting a sales job, and I remember, like, so I'm an immigrant at the time. I still am, obviously, but I'm an immigrant, and I hate like speaking English because I have like a lisp sometimes, and I wasn't like confident in my speech. With my friends, I'm like just laughing, giggling, whatever. But when it comes to like a professional conversation, in my mind, my identity is I'm a dropout, I'm an immigrant, I'm not good at numbers. I'm like, that was my identity. And so getting into a sales role, not knowing, not even knowing that it existed, it was like, I remember the first 2 weeks of training, you're role playing. And in sales, like, that's one of the hardest things to do when you're starting out. That's why they make you do it. And so I'm doing like role plays with my trainer, and it's a class of 30 people. And I'm like stuttering. And I remember calling my friend after the first few days. I'm like, yo, this job, I freaking hate it. I suck at this. Like, I can hear myself stutter, and the feeling of that, like the embarrassment, it's, I hate it so much. And I'm like, I'm going to quit this job. So I went through that process. 6 months later, I was the top salesperson in the entire province. 1 year later, I was a top person, top salesperson in that entire company, in all across Canada. And what the memory that I, and this was like, you're selling like internet or whatever. And I remember making like 50, 60K at that time. You know, so like, it's not that great, but 22 years old is freaking amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then 1 year later, like 1.5 year later, I'm like, this is boring. I've been selling internet for this, you know, it's boring. But the reflection that I had was, for the first time after 4 years of like, you know, being a dropout, not going to school, for the first time in 4 years, I remembered what it feels like to learn something again. And like in my mind, it was like, yo, I remember like distinctly hating it and sucking at it, and then becoming great at it.
Right.
And that feeling of like conquering something was like addicting.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah. It's profound. Wow, man. So after that, like you obviously start to realize, you know, you're utilizing that illumination gift, right? That must have been, you know, part of it is your skill set, your, well, all the things you learn. Probably part of it is your natural dispensation, 100%. Like how you work with people. Cause I can see that. So what did that do for your confidence? Right. Like what happened as a result when you kind of start to introduce yourself to yourself? Right. Mm-hmm. Like what happened in you?
Yeah. Great question, man. Confidence is like, I feel like in society, confidence comes from what society tells you you're good at, you know?
Yeah.
Versus when you learn for the first time what you're truly great at. And this is why I love this. It's like, you're how I discovered my gift. I didn't even know, like, it's like such a perfect question. And when you learn yourself, your power, and then you can go out there with pure confidence, like, it does wonders for your life, for yourself. And so the stories that I told myself of being an immigrant, of being a dropout, of being someone who is ESL, so English as second language, all these excuses, all these identities that I allowed to limit myself, broke off.
Wow.
You know? And so I was, you know, like that lid blew off, and I'm like, yo, potential.
Right.
Potential. Did you ever watch Dragon Ball Z?
I did a little bit. Goku and all the rest. Yeah.
So Gohan is the guy, Goku's son, who has like insane potential. And so he went through this like major breakthrough of unlocking that potential, and he could be like the most strongest Super Saiyan or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I remember I watched a lot of Dragon Ball Z growing up. That's how I felt like when I understood that that was unlocked, and the confidence for that just boom.
Wow. So what did you parlay into next right after this? Like, so you're like, okay, I'm bored. I've climbed the top of the mountain. I'm the guy. Now I gotta, you know, chase another thing that would fulfill me. Like, what happened next?
Yeah, so I got bored and I felt like I was at the top of the world. And so you already know what you gotta do. When you're at the top, you gotta find a bigger mountain to climb.
That's right.
So my brother was already at one of the other mountains because he had his own business and he was doing fairly well. Yeah. And when you're a kid, you don't really understand anything, to be honest, mm-hmm. especially when there's no communication there. Right. My brother saw that I was a good salesperson. I told him, like, my numbers are good. And then I was bored and he's like, yo, I'm starting this new business venture where I'm going to need a salesperson. You down to work with me? And I'm like, I worked for him for like part time for 2 weeks. And then I remember I gave him my notice to quit my job immediately. Mm-hmm. And I remember my manager was like, whoa, are you sure? Like, you're making good money. You're doing good. You sure it's risky to do something like this? And I was like, yo, I get to work with my older brother. And I get to like learn some other stuff and make more money. Down. Like, I didn't even have a second thought after those 2 weeks of experiencing the challenges. Because what I experienced was that same first 2 weeks of that job where I felt like I was so bad. And I remember feeling that feeling again. I'm like, yo, I'm shit at this. Because it was a completely different beast of sales and business. And I was like, yo. When I felt that moment again and it aligned that, yo, this is that same experience where you were at the bottom of that mountain. Yeah. I'm like, yo, I found another mountain to climb. I'm going to do this now.
Look at that. Amazing. So how long did it take you to really like get dialed in here?
So the business world, selling online high ticket. So we started with like agency work and then selling high ticket coaching. Mm-hmm. It took me like 4-5 months to really crack. Mm-hmm. And this was with my 1.5 years experience already in sales. Mm-hmm. And I remember like 4 months in, one of my brother's partners wanted to fire me because I was like bad. Mm-hmm. And my brother didn't tell me about this until later, but he's like, yo, my partner wanted to fire me, but I didn't because you're my freaking brother, you know? Wow. And now, like after 6 months, I started performing. And then 1 year later, I'm like, you know, one of the top guys. And we've been in business together for like 7 years, literally. And I'm a sales director. I've managed like, you know, 4 high ticket, 7-figure, $1 million sales teams. I've trained over 50, 60 reps. Hired over, you know, 200 people on the team, built systems and everything. And if my brother fired me because of what his partner said, none of this would have been possible.
Wow. I think we need to really like just like double click on what just happened, right? When you broke that down, right? I don't think people understand what you just said, because literally it's the same thing that happened again. It's there's potential, right? Like potential to see something great blossom. Yeah. Thank God your brother had, well, one, the relationship that you guys have, right? Yeah. But also he must have seen something to where, no, this is gonna turn around, right? Yeah. Like it's taking a bet and a gamble, right? Because I don't know what the dynamic was of your brother's partnership, but that could have been like, that could have been a sore spot. Like, man, he's costing us money. It's, you know, like I can make a real, that could, you know, in business and, you know, dollars and money gets thrown out, like emotions are really high. And for him to sit in that and trust in you, obviously he'd seen something in you, in your gift, your talent, your ability, and you turned it around. And what you said there was pivotal, that this business in its capacity, may not be where it's at without you. Like, that one decision could have destroyed an multiple eight-figure businesses, high ticket sales. Like, it would have destroyed, like, one, that's the power of like business. One wrong move can mess up your potential for your success for a business.
It's crazy when you say that, because I don't want to put myself in that like position of, yo, it's me and this puzzle right. works only because of me.
Right.
But yeah, I agree. Like, it's at the same time, like, that move allowed me to become who I am today for the company today. And that's like what happens when you really, you know, like, care, nurture, and invest in your people.
Right.
You know, your own brother. Of course, you got to do that, you know?
Right.
And it's funny, like, the same thing's literally happening with me and my younger brother now, wow. where he's part of my sales team that I'm building up. And the company, you know, we want to grow it. It's in its infancy stage. And I'm telling my brother, I'm actually a little bit more strict than my older brother is to me, because the youngest can tend to be the most relaxed. So I had a conversation with them. I'm like, yo, you're on this team. And just know that if you mess up, like, the company can go down the drain. Mm-hmm. And so I need you to step up and be at a level above everyone else, because you have my last name. So now there's a standard being set.
That is beautiful. I respect that so much, man. So take me into, I want to know behind the scenes, Waj, because you don't just become and build all the sales reps and the team and do this high ticket sales without some personal development. There's some development that had to go in for you. What was that process like in this 7-year building journey? What kind of development were you doing to yourself? What kind of, like, reading, what kind of training, what kind of practice? What are all those dark hours that nobody knows that you were doing, putting to make this happen?
Man, I feel like there's always these ups and downs. On the journey, always. No one's gonna have like a pure straight up, and it's in those valleys of despair where you learn the most about yourself, where you learn the most about what works and who you need to become to get back on top of that valley. And I've had tons of dips. Some dips lasting like 3-4 months of just like being completely out of it, not learning at all, not even picking up a book, not even, you know, like reviewing any of my calls, whatever, just because I thought I was good. So, man, 7 years, it's literally, you know, nothing. You know, nothing. You always have to be learning something. And that's like the field, the education, the information, these things fuel you as a human being, especially as a man, when you got responsibilities that you got to take care of. And then, yeah, lots of reading, lots of books, lots of listening. And like, so let me kind of bring it back. When I was a kid, fourth child, right? This ability to spectate becomes very strong, because I have three older brothers, and those three older brothers, they always did everything before me. Okay, they played video games, they ate first, they ate more. Everything they did, I watched first.
Yeah.
So my ability to learn was there, because I've always watched my brothers. Okay, so even in business, even if they're not talking to me, I'm learning. You know, wow. And so this entire journey, with my brothers, or at least my oldest brother at this time right now, is like, yo, he's just gonna do his thing, and I'm gonna learn. I'm gonna be watching. I'm gonna be learning. And when I get my opportunity, I already know what to do. And you saw that on stage.
Yes.
My brother was there. He introduced me. That was my first time on stage, and I did what I had to do. You know, because I've also seen him on stage in the past.
Yeah. Wow. He killed him, by the way. Yeah, killed it. Yeah.
Thank you. So I always give it like, I always give the props where it's due, and that's to my mentors and my leaders. Mm-hmm. And then the second part is like, when you're in a business for 7 years, like literally every single day, 12 hours a day, you're in that business. You're thinking about that business 24/7.
Yeah.
You know, you learn a lot. And 2017, when we started this business, this was a very new, very, very new industry of like, you know, selling courses online, high ticket sales, info products, digital marketing. It was very new. So being in this industry early and then seeing it grow and develop throughout the years, and seeing the rise of like the Hermosis, the rise of the Gary V's, seeing the rises and falls, you know, of Tai Lopez and all these other names, you're seeing that, and you see it behind the scenes because you've already heard when Hermosi was a little kid. You've heard of who was Sam Ovens before he became the guy who owned school. You know, you hear and see these things, and you're like, you've been in the game long enough that you just know it like the back of your hand. You know, like the back. I think that's the word, back of your hand.
That's right.
So, yeah, the timing of it was very, very, like, it was on point. My leaders, I've learned a lot from. And that's like the benefit of being a younger sibling, or if you have mentors, you learn from all of their successes, but more importantly, from all of their failures.
That's right.
So if you're a kid out there hustling and you don't have a mentor, someone who's like 3-4 steps ahead of you, find one, you know, get in contact with, hit me in my DMs, bro. I love helping people, whether it's a quick voice message or a, you know, text, whatever. Yeah. And I feel like I can give value. I'm gonna do it because I was once, and I am still that kid, you know.
Respect, man. So take us into the companies, man. Yes, built this. This word is I was gonna say lion, and I was like, wow, that no pun intended. You built this lion of a company, and
yeah.
So talk to me about it, man. Tell me about the organization, the genesis of it, and how it's grown to 4 companies doing 8+ figures each.
Yeah, so I think it's more now. I think we have like 6 brands under our name. But the way that it works is like when me and my brother first partnered up in 2017, it was to launch one of his online courses teaching people how to build marketing agencies. So before Iman Gazi was Iman Gazi, we had my brother who was a face, and it grew. That program was live for the next like 5 years. It had like 8,000 students, tons of success stories, all high ticket. So we did very well, and we learned the entire business through that experience. I think for that offer, the most we were doing in 1 month was like $2.5 million a month.
Jeez.
Just coming in. Great. And so we have to build the infrastructure for that, the coaching for that, the support, the tech, the CRMs, the salespeople, which I was responsible for, and the entire customer journey, the marketing, the advertising, because they didn't have any followers or subscribers. So it was purely off of advertising and understanding that advertising skill. And so we gained all of these experiences, and then we did it for a friend and we got them to $1 million months.
Wow.
Then we did it for another friend, and we got it to $1 million months. And this is when we're like, yo, we're really good at this. And then we started our venture studio where we're like, hey, we're going to find people that are experts in their industry who have made money online, had a business, successful business, and are like real practitioners. We're going to partner up with them. They're going to be the educators, and we're going to be the ones behind the machine.
Wow.
Working away. And so we did that, and we're still doing that. And this is why the team is so large, because we have these big brands that are functioning off of lots of students. And so you need like a big team size. You need contractors. You need employees. And so that's fast forward to today. That's where we are today.
Wow. So take us into the first company, right? What's the name of the first company?
So the company was called MM.
MM. So yeah. MM literally was showing other marketing agencies to how to become successful. And what was the catalyst to getting, because I mean, we have people listening to the show that would love to get to 100K months, right?
Yeah.
So you're talking million dollar months. What's the difference shift? Let me take us through this. What's the difference shift for that person right now that wants to go from a 10K month to a 100K month. And then what's the difference from a 100K month to a $1 million month? What do you think those shifts are?
So there's a few, and I'll give you two answers, okay?
Okay.
Number one, the more generic answer, which is what people already most likely understand, is what's going to get you to like 100K a month, you can pretty much do yourself. Especially with AI, with tools, with system software, you can do it yourself. To get to $1 million a month, even 400K a month, you need to then build a team, right? Like that's going to be the driving factor. You have people around you. And so we had a great team, one of the best teams. That's why we were able to do that. Now, the other little secret is most people, they want to build their audience first, right? So they want to go on social media, especially today, I'm talking about today. They want to build their social media. They want to build their organic. They want to build their email list. And like, bro, to get to 100,000 subscribers on YouTube, it might take you 3 years, 4 years. Maybe if you're lucky, it might take you 1 year.
Yeah.
Right. So you're building this audience. It's amazing, but it takes you a lot of time, and you can quit every single day before that, you know? So there's time. But once you do it, and it's hard to do it, once you do it, then it becomes amazing. And then it becomes super long-term. The way that we went about it is it's an economics game where we're like, we could run. So the reason our marketing agency was successful is because we run paid ads for clients. Mm-hmm. And with paid ads, we knew that, hey, you can spend this much and get this many leads. Right. And if the process is good and the system is dialed in, if you spend $10, hopefully you're getting $50 back.
Right.
You know, so we're like, yo, we're already in that game. And so when we get into the course business, we're like, yo, let's spend $1,000. Let's see if we can get $5,000 back. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Maybe this time we lost a little bit of money. We spent $5,000, we got $500 back. Okay, let's spend a little bit more. Okay, we're getting $900 back. Okay, let's spend a little more. Okay, now we're in the green, we're getting like $1,500 back. Let's spend a little bit more. Okay, now we're getting $4,000 back. Okay, now it's like a machine where I can put money in, money gets printed out.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. So that period of time, it might take 3 months, might take, you know, 6 months.
Yeah.
To get to, and then let's say you're at 10K a month spending ads, the next thing you do is instead of spending 10K a month, you spend 20K a month. Now your numbers hopefully double.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like the machine, obviously, in order for an operation to be scaled up to like $2 million, $3 million a month.
Yeah.
You have to have a solid like business function.
Yeah.
The product has to be amazing. The team has to be efficient. The systems have to be dialed in, and it has to be big enough to handle that much volume coming in.
Right.
So this is why and it's also very risky. If you mess it up and you're spending like 50K a day,
right,
you know, like shit can go downhill pretty fast.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So that's like the little difference in what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Most people are getting build that organic channel first. We went the opposite way because you can get to numbers faster. One of the brands we launched got to like 500K within its second month.
Wow.
Just because we already know the game of paid advertising.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's phenomenal, man. Like I know people are being inspired here. So take us through, right? So it's not, so I want you to highlight something, right? Because these brands that you're building, including your own, as well as other elements, it's not like you guys just turn on the ads and then they bought right away, right? Because you also had to build in a sales side, right? That like you can't high ticket. It doesn't work. I'm assuming all the clients, most of the clients, as well as yourselves, right?
Yeah.
This is high ticket. So high ticket, you can't just say, oh, here's a 10K offer, click the button and then buy it, right?
Yeah,
it's not that piece, right? You had to build a sales team that can support all the lead generation and the traffic that's coming in.
Yeah.
So talk to me about the sales side, right? Because a lot of, I see entrepreneurs get this wrong. In all transparency, this is something we're working on, building our sales teams and getting this right. But talk to us about what are those epic mistakes that people make when trying to build a sales team, sales culture, and a sales unit that can handle the influx of leads and opportunity that's coming in.
You could mess up so many things.
Yeah, I can
imagine. So many things. So the sales team is like, in high ticket, most of the time, it's the core function that brings the money in. Okay? So it's the most important thing next to like very... Marketing is probably the most important, but if even the marketing is like good or decent, the sales team is super important. But if the marketing is great and the sales team isn't, then it's like, yo, because you're driving all traffic to your sales team. So ultimately, it's the thing that brings in the money.
Right.
Now, there's so... whenever you're leading people, whenever you're managing people, there's so much that can go wrong, regardless if it's like the sales function. But now when you add the sales component to it, where it is literally the moneymaker off of a for a system, then you know, the stakes are doubled. And so I don't know, it's a loaded question. You got to build amazing culture. Mm-hmm. Right. Sales, a lot. The mistake I see with a lot of teams is they just think of their salespeople as like dogs, literally dogs, where they're like, yo, I'm giving you this lead, you better get to this number or I'm firing your ass tomorrow. And they have this like hiring and firing cycle, which is so intense and so fast that there is never any culture developed. And the thing about culture, David, is like, when you have an amazing culture, you know, like the Spurs or the Bulls, right, or even the Cavs, you know, they will, no matter who, they can be B players, bro. If the culture is amazing, they become all stars.
Wow.
And people step up because now you're not motivating them by money. Money is a great motivator. But what's the best motivator is these intrinsic values that are being touched when you're part of something bigger than you. And you'll go a mile, 10 miles further than someone who's only about that commission check that can only go 1 mile.
That's so good. Wow, man. Wow. Wow, man. That's just so good, man. Like you just, this is such a big aha, like just went off for me as you're sharing that. It's like the culture, like it's amazing how, and I'm assuming this probably happens, people will build the culture for their entire team as far as, oh, our project managers, our COO, our operations, our account managers, they'll build that culture.
Yeah.
But it sounds like they don't do the same thing for sales. They like you said, they're getting the scraps. We don't even respect them like that. Like, bro, it's like they treat them like stepchildren.
Yeah, literally. And I've been there, you know. So when I became the leader, I'm like, yo, I don't want these guys to feel that same way. I want them to feel the love, man. When you're loved, bro, holy smokes.
Yeah.
Game's over, bro. Life's changed.
Wow.
You know? And so I've had so many times, even people that I let go, David, right? People that I let go because their performance wasn't up there, that they would message me months later and they would be like, man, I learned so much being part of your team.
Wow.
Man, like the numbers that I'm doing now, like, thank you for letting me go. They literally appreciate being let go because it helped them in their development.
Wow.
You know?
That's amazing, dude.
Yeah, like I literally got a message the other day. They're like, man, I loved your guys' team. I'm so sorry I wasn't able to get to the level that I needed to, but I learned so much. And this person apologized to me 1 year later, and I had no kind of like communication. Mm-hmm. And this has happened more than once, multiple times.
Wow.
So that's what like strong leadership can do. Mm-hmm. You know? Like, and I've also learned this from playing basketball, where I know the impact like a coach can make. When you're a kid and you're going to basketball practice every day, you're grade 10, 12, 11, whatever, and you have a coach that like truly cares about your personal development, so that you learn the lessons that you have to excel in that game.
Yeah.
You remember these things for life. I'm not kidding. You remember it for life. And there's so many people in this, you know, business, entrepreneurial, digital marketing space where all they care about, David, is money. Mm. All they care about is money in their pockets. Mm. All they care about is what this person can, how much money can this person make me? And that's why they're digital marketers, right? They want to make money from home, remotely, traveling to Bali or whatever. Like, that's why they're in the game. They're in that in it for that solo entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. Most people.
Right.
And then they have to hire people. And then they have to lead people. And now they're like, yo, shit, I got a team of like four or five people. I was just in it for the money for myself. You know, so unfortunately there's times where people get stuck with leaders like that.
Yeah.
But it just makes my company and the experience that I can provide our employees even better, you know.
That's what I'm talking about. Wow, man. Could you go into a few things that I got to hear live, and we'll wrap up with a few things. I want to respect your time. You hit it on the nail about culture, man. I always say culture over profit, right? Like, and not that we're against profit. We just know that you take care of the culture, profit's going to come, right? Yeah. And if you focus on profit, sometimes you forsake culture. So, if you could just expound on, you know, the transformation that your organizations went through as a result of. The way I saw you illustrated on stage was caring, by simply caring, infusing care into your process, you had higher client retention. You had people ascend up to your other offers, but other people would think, "Oh, you gotta build things that are gonna make yourselves more money from the very gate and try to get as much money." But you had a flipped philosophy that most people in the industry would do and would think that's the way you need to get to growth. So if you could highlight on that, brother, that'd be great.
Yeah, 100%. So I give, like, these are kind of like just lessons I've learned across life by having great leaders, right? You know, great parents, great siblings, great family structure. And so, like, the nature that I've developed is, like, very much my personality, my character, my nature. And so because of that, I've been able to, like, gauge what I feel is a good experience or a bad experience, or at least to the best of my ability. I hope that, you know, it's true. And then when you've also, like, experienced this business with the experience that I have in this business, it's like, okay, this is the competition, right? And this is what I feel like should be the normal or the standard. And if that standard isn't set there right now, hey, let's set that standard then. Let me be the one to set that standard. And, like, a lot of, like, in the space right now, we're always looking at what someone else is doing, right? Social media trains us. Even online education trains us. Like, you could literally buy a $5,000 program and it'll tell you what to do, and you'll find it more valuable than watching the exact same thing on YouTube because you paid for it.
That's
you
right.
know? And so everyone feels like, yo, I gotta look there. I have to go get this before I can do this. Where most of the times, like, the things that you wanna do that you feel like, hey, I feel this thing should be like this, it might be right. You know, it might be right. Follow that instinct. If you have that instinct developed, which now I have, but it's still always being developed. Mm-hmm. So I was like, yo, let's do this way. And by doing so, we, you know, 3x'd our results and broke that industry normal and created a much better experience for our customers and ultimately business rewards value creation, right? And so value isn't just like money, ROI. It could also be like the experience. You know, if you make people feel some type of way and they gain an experience, that's value added to someone's life.
Truth. Man, I love it, brother. Wow, man. Dropping some heat. I knew you were going to drop heat today. I just knew it.
It's you, bro. The questions you're asking is just making me think.
Nah, man. It's all you, bro. So tell me, man. One, how can people get like, hey, they're an influencer listening, or they know some influencers, or they have an organization. Who's your ideal client, and where can they go to learn more about the work that you guys do?
Yeah. So my name is Wahaj Faruqi. You can find me on social media at Wahaj in the Wild. All right. Because this world out here, it's wild. That's, you know,
right.
And me too. I'm a little wild myself. But our ideal client. So like for my YouTube channel, I'm going to be talking about how to sell your product, course, services, and yourself online. How to do that in the best way possible. I'll talk about sales and leadership with my expertise and my perspective of sales and leadership, versus what's out there is like a lot of marketing stuff. So my experience building teams, building people, and building this company up. And our client, like, look, we're really great marketers. We're really good at building sales teams as well. We're really good at paid advertising. If you have a company that's doing 20-30K a month and you need to grow and scale, we've done that multiple times. So you can reach out to me there and you can just follow my content and see if it's valuable first, and then reach out to me whenever.
Beautiful, brother. Beautiful. So y'all gonna make sure you check out Wahaj in the Wild. So that's Wahaj in the Wild on YouTube, on TikTok, I'm sure on Instagram, Facebook, all of them. So just plug in with the guy. He's got the wisdom, man. So one question, you weren't prepped for this, Wahaj.
Yeah.
What's the difference between one's gift and one's purpose? One's gift, gift and purpose. One's purpose.
What is the difference between one's gift and purpose? Shit, I don't know, man. Maybe I'm still figuring it out. But if I were to answer this question right now, your gift is the thing that gives you purpose. Could be the, you know?
Yeah.
Your gift is the thing that, gives you purpose for the shit.
That's deep. I don't even know if you know what you said right there. That's powerful. Your gift is the thing that gives you purpose.
Yeah. Everyone has a gift.
That's right. Yeah. That's good, bro. Wow, man. Thank you so much, man, for blessing the people today. I know this is going to be an episode people are going to watch over and over and over and gain tremendous value, brother. Thank you so much for pouring your heart out and taking some time to spend with the people and with myself here.
My man, I appreciate so much, David. Thank you so much for having me. You'll follow your boy Kingdom Social Media. Did I say it right?
Yes, sir. You did.
There you go. Appreciate this guy it. Brings in the energy. No one can get this information out of me. I'm usually a lockbox, but David is the man. He's one of the best interviewers. He brings in the energy. He brings in the smiles. And I'm super happy to be here. Thank you so much.
Thank you, brother. I searched all over the world, struggling to find it. Dear listener, I would like to thank you so much for listening to How I Discovered My Gift with yours truly, David D. Simons. As a token of my appreciation, I would love to give to you my most important piece of work to date, and it's called the Purpose Gift Tape. It's a motivational mixtape geared towards helping you to identify your gifts, which ultimately lead to you discovering your purpose. This is a 6-track album I poured my heart and soul into. It includes beautiful beats, an amazing spoken word over it, and I'd love to give that to you as a free gift, as a token of my appreciation for being a part of the community. So to get your copy, all you need to do is go to podcast.daviddsimons.com. That's podcast.davidSimons.com, and get yours today. Thank you for being a listener. I'll catch you on the next episode. How I Discovered My Gift with David D. Simons is proud to be of the amazing and illustrious Alive Podcast Network.